Welcome to Geeks Corner. I'm Mr. Daps.
I'm Katie.
And we're so excited that you're here on the last episode before the Geekmas episode, which is next Wednesday night, not Tuesday.
Wednesday.
At 8:30. You won't want to miss it. It'll be probably close to an hour, if not a full hour. You never really know with these things. Who is to say? But as you can see, we're adding to the Geekmas tree every week. It'll get better and better throughout the Geekmas season. And it works this year, so that's good, too.
That was a year. That was so stressful.
That was definitely a year. But we have a ton to go through tonight. So, Katie, before we do that, what should people do?
You should go into the chat and tell us lots of things, preferably things I could say to Indiana, because he is right here. He's being a very seepy-eepy boy. So if you tell me things I could say to him, I could say it for you.
There you go. And we're going to move right on into the show, I guess. And first off, we're going to start here in California, where this Sunday was the final day for guests to visit Beast's Library in Disney California Adventure's Animation Building. Katie, what do you think about this saying goodbye?
Saying goodbye?
Well played.
No, I have opinions about this, mainly because I think Beast Library was great.
Part of a bigger thing.
When it was a past tense term. When Ursula's Grotto was there, and it was a complete cohesive
journey.
Workshop. Totally.
Yep.
But I think that when Beast Library became a dead end, it fell off for me.
It's not as fun to go to a dead end.
It's not, because then you have to backtrack all the way. I don't know.
And I don't think it was designed to do that. Like, just the flow was always weird when you're coming back and people are coming in. It wasn't designed to do that. It didn't really work in the same way once it was no longer a circle around back to the main entry area.
So I'm disappointed to see this go, but also not shocked after. And what, that was probably like 8 or so years ago?
Whenever they put in the Frozen stuff. So yeah, a while.
Yeah. Whenever they took out Jessie's zoetrope. That is so crazy. But yeah, so I don't know. If this was the workshop in its entirety and it was closing, I think I would be very disappointed. But with the way that it's been taken care of, I'm bummed. And I will say, I in no way am I bummed about the personality quiz. I'm bummed about the actual ambiance of the library itself, like the actual portrait changing and the claw marks.
Yeah,
the
it's the whole experience
that you're in the castle type of thing. Also, yes, Ursula's Grotto was a karaoke.
I thought it was hilarious. It was very fun. It was a fun place to go play with voices and do all that stuff. In fact, I thought it was the best room in the entire experience.
I agree.
When it was open and kind of when it didn't exist anymore, I was like, well, that was my reason for going. So, okay. And part of me is like, why did it take so long, or how did it take so long for the Beast's Library to disappear after Ursula's Grotto? Because it kind of almost seemed like destined at that point. But yeah, it is sad to see more public spaces being lost.
I would like to say something about that.
Okay.
Because yes, it does. It does hurt. But I would also like to defend cast members ever so slightly in this exact moment, because cast members actually have had to take some pretty heavy losses in the past 5 or 6 years for us to get more guest spaces.
And we have more guest space now than ever.
This isn't necessarily a cast member space that it's becoming, but I think about the rehearsal building that got lost for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and that was like devastating to a lot of cast members.
Yep.
So while I agree 100% that it's always sad when there's something that is taken away from guests, we also should recognize when we are being given
more.
Yep. Yeah. So that's my weird soapbox.
There we go. Let's move right along. We just got back from Florida, where we spent a few days at Walt Disney World Resort, enjoying all of the magical merriment that could be found through all of the parks. One of those things being the Merry Menagerie itself. We also got to see Mikey Really Likey, who I see in the chat, and that was a lot of fun
that
as
was
well.
So fun.
Merry Menagerie. was the unexpected hit, I will say, of the trip.
Not unexpected because, for me.
Well, to the level.
Okay, yes, that's
because
what I will say.
I was like, oh, I'm going to like this because puppets and yeah. penguins and Nordic animals. I like all these things, and it's an animal kingdom, which I also like. I did not have any clue at how much I would love it.
I thought it was going to be, with all the love in my heart, I thought it was going to be, we see it, and then it's we cute. Get to pass by it, and then we see it throughout the day and go, neat, what a fun thing.
That was
thing.
Fun.
We stood in that pathway
for almost a half an hour.
I was going to say 30 to 45 minutes. Like, fully just
watching and experiencing and then having animals come back to us and interact with us. And
well, and then the second group of animals came mm-hmm. out because the first group of animals, we had like penguins and we had seals and then we had reindeer.
Little fox.
And the second set, we had birds and bears mm-hmm. and I'm trying to
bears,
think of
beats and Battlestar Galactica.
Mm-hmm. But I like was in awe just watching all of these like truly, and I know that I'm really good about suspension of disbelief, so let's throw that out. But it also could be because I worked with puppets professionally. I stare at the animals and mm-hmm. I'm just like, these are little,
they were adorable
ice creatures.
They were very adorable and definitely worth, if you get the chance to go experience them, check them out, and get their merchandise too, because I'm sure that helps them.
Like,
but we do have, if you look closely, there is a Merry Menagerie ornament on the Geekmas tree. And no, it was a home run. And yeah. my only regret is that we never saw it earlier. Like, it's something I would go to every time I'm at Animal Kingdom if I
and
were
I could
a local.
Just sit there and mm-hmm.
Watch and
it.
The live musicians.
Yeah.
Do we talk about those? Because there was a steel drum player, a violinist, and a ukulele.
And I love steel drums. That yeah, is a it was fun great. Thing about me. But it was
random
so...
Random Daps fact. I was in a steel drum band in middle school.
Of course you were. The music sounds so good. It almost sounds like background music that they are miming to.
But it's background music that they're playing along to, which yes. was very cool.
But it is so good.
Mm-hmm. There, it definitely check them out. We have a video on the YouTube channel if you want to check that out to see what we saw. But way better in person. Like, yeah. you just can't capture how cute they were. We need to do a duet someday, Ivy. That would be hilarious. And but you cannot capture how cute they are on camera or no. on video camera. It was ridiculously cute. Another thing we did while back there was we went to Disney Jollywood Nights. Mm-hmm. That was actually right after we got to hang out with Mikey.
That was. And, we literally.
That was a full day.
Yeah.
Like, I will just say that was a very full day.
That was a long day.
And so Disney Jollywood Nights takes place in Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's the first year they've done a holiday party there. Mm-hmm. Definitely was a first year. Mm-hmm. There were some new things, some old things. The two new things were a, what was it called? Disney's, what was the Muppet show called? I'm forgetting what it's called now.
Something about Hollywood?
Yeah, it was a Hollywood show that took place in the bowl and where Beauty and the Beast takes place. And then they also had a What's This Nightmare Before Christmas sing-along. And we are going to show you some highlights from both of those, because I think those two things were the highlights of the highest highlights yes. of the party. So enjoy some highlights of the highlight of Disney Jollywood Nights.
Hello, my friends. What a wonderful sight. Let me welcome you all on this fine Christmas night.
Well, well, well. What have we here? Santa Claus, huh? Oh, I'm really scared.
Here with the And we are so honored to be co-hosting this magical musical show for all of you tonight.
And those are all the highlights of the show. Well, not all of them, but
it's the highlights.
It gives you a good
feel
look at what was happening in both of those shows. So let's start with Nightmare Before Christmas. What's this sing along? What did you think of the show?
Puppet,
which I loved.
Show was fun. Show was really fun. Not a whole lot of singing along for a sing along. But that's the way I preferred it.
There was like a couple scattered people singing along, yeah. But there wasn't, especially the first song. But then as they went to the more like complex songs, they kind of tapered off.
Yeah. I really liked it though. There's a lot of really fun surprises. Almost every song had something fun to see. And yeah, I just really liked it. So
I loved the puppetry. In particular, mm-hmm. like seeing Jack Skellington, massive Jack Skellington right there in front of us was super cool. And I thought it was really, really well done.
Well, and something that if you, it might be obvious to other people, but when you're a puppeteer, the bigger the puppet is, the so much harder it is to control. Mm-hmm. And sometimes puppets that big and of that size can feel very clunky and very like
and
not
it was,
hitting it.
It was just moving. It was
so good.
It was the best physical Jack Skellington I think I've seen. Like animatronic face character or puppet. Like I think this is my favorite version that I've seen.
It feels like Jack Skellington.
Yeah.
Because it's the
skinny,
size of it. It's
the movement was right.
Yeah. And everything about it was, the biggest thing for me, is puppetry is so much about the way you are like talking through things. And Jack was doing that really well again, which is something very hard and very complex. The only complaint about the show, and I get it. It would have been overkill maybe, is I just wish that there had been more of that puppet.
I don't know where you would have put it.
I don't know either, like, but I wanted more of it.
And I actually didn't want more because I think it would have been almost too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
And like it was good because he's at the beginning of the show and the end, and it was a nice bookend. And I also really enjoyed seeing Oogie Boogie as well. Like Oogie Boogie was awesome. And I think the only thing I was curious about is they have these two characters mm-hmm. also that are a man and a woman, maybe children. I don't know entirely. I kind of wish they had been explained a little bit more in the opening or the closing, probably in the opening. Like if Jack said, hey, this is, you know, Dick and Jane and they're siblings or, you know, like something just to explain exactly what it was, because I think everybody walked out going, that was fun. How are they related? Mm-hmm. Like there was that kind of weird, like that was the one thing I think could have improved that show.
Because when at first it turns around, you're like, oh, these are like Christmas kids.
That
like,
was my assumption brother, sister. Through most of it.
But then I had this moment of like, well, maybe they're married. And then they had a will they, won't they going on.
It was just a little confusing.
Like Sally's doing her song and she's looking at him like, oh, mm-hmm. will I ever be more? And then like during We're Simply Meant to Be, they have a moment. And I'm like,
I was a little bit confused.
And then I was like, well, if they are married, this is very strange. And if they're brother and sister, this is worse.
I just don't know.
Giving that Folger.
Or they could have been dating.
Folger's Christmas commercial.
Like it could have been anything.
But yeah.
But I loved the way they story told. It just needed like one more line from Jack Skellington to be like, hey, this is who they are. And they're, or like.
Because this is absolutely zero knock on the performers involved in this.
They were amazing.
They were so good.
And I was captivated by them so much that most of the time I wasn't paying attention to what was going on behind the screen.
There's only so much that you can convey, not verbally.
Yeah, it was great.
But they were so fascinating. I think if it did not have that live performer element from them,
then it would have been a completely,
I think the show would have been lost.
It would have been a snooze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Then we have the variety TV show that I think was supposed to be kind of like one of those old Christmas specials, but you're at the taping of. And this is a case too where I feel like they could have probably explained things a little bit better or streamlined them a little bit more. And maybe it's a first year thing, but it was kind of this whole like TV show that had like four hosts. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of this little bit of a confusion of like, who's really the host here? Is it the duo that kind of are the through, like they carry you through the whole thing? Or is it Kermit and Miss Piggy who actually kind of also took that role? Mm-hmm. And then it could have also been Mickey and Minnie, but they didn't seem as much like a house, but it's also kind of their park. But it was a cute show. It was interesting because it was definitely leaning into the variety show as opposed to here's the storyline for this show. Cause there wasn't necessarily a storyline. And it was fun, but I also didn't walk away from it like I did with the Muppets, traveling
the caroling coach.
And I think I was hoping for more caroling coach, and where I liked it, I also kind of walked away going huh, whereas I walked out of Nightmare Before Christmas going wow. Like there was a definite difference, and it was once again like the dancers were incredible in this. Like they were so polished. I was literally like blown away.
Like that is a level.
I think the dancers were the best.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's just a level that you do not see
anywhere,
even in professional theater, nonetheless, a theme park review show. And yeah. It was very, very, very impressive.
I thought the performers were all fantastic. Like it was really like, it was impressive to hear them sing, to see them dance. Like Tiana, I thought killed it. And it was fun to see her in a different outfit and still,
she was so cute. The highlight of the show for me was Mickey and Minnie. Very cute. It feels very like 80s, 90s, like Christmas special.
It reminded me of House of Mouse.
Yeah, kind of
like
that.
I had that House of Mouse thing pop in. Yeah, the band was also really good.
But it's like the whole, oh, I bought you this. Oh, well, I got you this. And it was so special. And
you almost wanted to go right into White Christmas.
As we have reported previously on Daps, Minnie Mouse had gotten somebody new to bring her to life in the past couple years. And so anything like this is always very fun to get to see that. Like, obviously, new projects. We're like, oh, we know for sure that this is Caitlin. And I think that Caitlin was absolutely phenomenal. And there was just such a fun energy for Mickey and Minnie that just made me so happy. And if I could have watched that part, like, like it almost felt
to me
it'd be a great castle show.
I also wish that Kermit and Miss Piggy had done a song that they'd previously done, like whether it's from Muppets Christmas Carol,
don't they have the green
or the green and red and green, whatever that album is. Green? No, it's red and green or green and red, because they fight over which one's better. But if they'd have pulled from one of the things they've done, or even like do a play off of the John Denver album, there's so many things you could do from Muppets. Instead, I think they had kind of a variation on I'm forgetting what their song was even now. Like it wasn't as memorable as it could have been, I feel like. And
as where Caroling Coach was just
bam,
that.
Yeah.
Everything from Caroling Coach with Miss Piggy arguing with the voice of Disneyland over the loudspeaker to the actual Caroling mm-hmm. Coach, the bickering, part of it is, and I will absolutely give them credit for this, is it's kind of sometimes hard to write Kermit and Piggy's dynamic in a finite space without other Muppets.
Their dynamic wasn't bad, I didn't think. I just thought how they fit into the whole show was a little bit confusing.
Well, no, I was saying that it's hard to encapsulate them, and also John Denver character performer when. That is a great question, Darren.
Maybe next year. So, but that was kind of our opinion of the whole Disney Jollywood Night thing, was it was a valiant effort, and it kind of just was, it felt like it needed a little bit more something, maybe more entertainment, Tip Top Club. Like there were things that were great about it,
yeah.
But it also, I think we could have been done in an hour and a half if they didn't have Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam at midnight or 12:30.
12:30 when
so that was at the closing thing. And I do think it was definitely a party that was trying to aim more at adults than it was kids.
For sure.
Which was great. And I think that's a good start. And I hope it gets a second chance, because I would love to see, after taking feedback from this year, what you can do with it moving forward.
For sure.
And part of it is coming from a space where we're really spoiled by our parties out here, where we have a million characters. There's always a half dozen entertainers of one type or another. And then you get a cavalcade and fireworks, you know, like we just get tons of stuff here. And so I haven't done Merriest Nights out there. I understand it's pretty impressive too. But from what I'm used to at Disneyland versus this, Very Merry Christmas Party, not Merriest Nights. I would compare it to Merriest Nights, but I would say Merriest Nights had the edge of the Caroling Cavalcade. But I would love to see it. I would love to see them try it again. And I'd love to give it a second chance, because I think there was a lot of potential that was seen in this that could go, like if the feedback is heard from people and they do the surveys or whatever, I think people would say, hey, we want more entertainment. Hey, we want more characters. Like what you have is good. We just need more.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's what it was, especially for the price point. But, anyway, we also got to see, is there anything else you want to talk about with Merriest Nights? Okay. You don't want to talk about John Denver some more? Okay, that's fine. All right. We also got to see Luminous on its third night, second night, something like that. It was, I'm going to say it's a good show, but it has some fantastic fireworks. So watch this. We'll say it sounded like we had fireworks in the studio right now, because the stereo definitely works.
Yeah.
So Luminous, I thought, was very cool. And it definitely took you on an emotional journey. And it'll be analyzed, I'm sure, from here to, we could say, the North Pole and back, because of the time of year, for the next few months and years. The real star to me were the fireworks.
Yeah.
like you saw those and they're like spraying out. It's, you know, it sounded like a machine gun or something. Just brrr. And I thought those were some of the coolest effects. I like that they use those arch from the sides multiple times. That always makes me think of Illuminations. And there was also heart fireworks. I just didn't have time to find those.
Those are cute.
But there were some really cool fireworks added in the show. What did you think of the show overall? And if you want the fireworks.
If I want the fireworks?
Well, if you want to talk about fireworks.
Okay, cool. Just some quick hits that I would like to personally talk about for this show. One, the sound mixing is kind of really hard to hear. So depending on where
it was very quiet,
where you are around the lagoon, it was almost, I don't want to say impossible, but it was very, very hard to pick up on some things. Like the Walt Disney's welcome is, you can't hear it because the soundtrack is so quiet and the fireworks are so
even
loud.
The narration was hard to hear.
Yeah. The narration's hard to hear. The music's hard to hear. They're trying to go for a surround like stereo, type of audio and it, yeah. Two, the fireworks are amazing. The shooting across or like from around the lagoon is something that only Epcot is capable of doing. And it is so good. Every time they do it, there's this like piece of my heart that just like fills up with so much love and joy. The next part is that there are parts of it that are really, really quiet and it's the sad parts that are quiet. So if you're sobbing, everyone's going to know. Absolutely, everybody's going to know. I had to hold
unless the sound is better in Italy.
I had to hold my breath to not have people hear me sob. And then the last thing is I just want to say, give me Figment. That's it.
There you go. I will say, and this was my take, is I liked it. It was about the safest show you could have made.
Safer than Epcot Forever?
Yeah. There's no whole new world. Like, there was nothing in this. I was like, if we were to make a show that was going to please everyone, not go over the top other than with fire, like they kept it simple and they made it quality, mm-hmm. which to me is a very safe move on their part. And it was reminiscent of our favorites from other shows. Mm-hmm. And like there was moments where I was like, oh, this kind of feels like Illuminations, or oh, this kind of feels like Epcot Forever. Oh, mm-hmm. this kind of feels like Little Even Harmonious. And this one was just taking songs and taking you on an emotional journey that I actually think it's what Disney does the best. And I think that's why people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm also curious to see, because it didn't take as many risks, how long it lasts. Because it might be one of those things that it's kind of a palate cleanser for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then maybe for Epcot's 45th or something, I don't know. They're like, now we can try something
now we
else.
Can have the Figment Nighttime Spectacular, narrated by Figment, directed by Figment, starring
Figment.
Well,
you
Figment.
Do it with the new Imagination Pavilion as
sung
well
by Figment.
That stars Figment and the Dreamfinder. But there you go.
I love it.
You can have it, Disney. We will sign it away just like that. All right, before we run out of time tonight, we do have a couple more topics, but we also have an Indie Cam that I'm very excited about. So enjoy watching Indie and his best friend.
Thank you.
they were having fun. This is why he's sleeping now.
He just gets so excited to see Desi. And then my favorite thing is that Desi is an old lady. She is a senior. There's times that she will just sit there and go, okay, I'm going to let you just run around in circles.
That is true. All right, going back to Florida, we did get to experience the Jingle Cruise, which still happens at Magic Kingdom, not like Disneyland. What did you think of it in five words or less?
I miss Disneyland's Jingle Cruise.
That was good. I thought it was great.
Great.
And we had a great skipper. All right. We also I got to hear, I think you heard it too, Grayson, the ragtime piano player playing White Christmas medley. If you haven't heard this guy play, you definitely need to stop by Casey's Corner and listen to him. He was fantastic. And we have that up on our YouTube channel and on the website too. You can listen to it there as well. And we'll have more video from him up very soon.
Things I just noticed from this, both Walt Disney World and Knott's Berry Farm specifically, I don't know the name of the song, but it's from White Christmas, and they are, both of these parks are obsessed with the when I'm tired and I can't sleep, I count my blessings. Oh,
count your blessings.
Yeah.
It's a classic song.
I have heard it so much, specifically at Knott's and Walt Disney World, not so much at Disneyland. But Grayson is an incredibly talented, phenomenally talented piano player, and also go on the YouTube and check out the Fantasmic medley.
It's not up yet, but it will be. We also got to watch the Holiday Storytellers, which brought the Epcot International Festival of the holidays, because it's different there, to life. Which one was your favorite and why?
Barn Santa, because it's very like whimsical and very fun, and there's this magic to me. And I know this is silly. I know I'm 27, but there is a magic to me of somebody that doesn't believe in Santa, believing in Santa right in front of your eyes. And when they thank everybody for helping them believe in Santa.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
That's that little Miracle on 34th thing.
Yeah.
4th Street going on thing. Yeah, I really liked that one. I enjoyed Père Noël.
Yes.
Father Christmas in the UK was really great. Mm-hmm. La Befana was very fun in Italy as well. And I think I liked the ones that were a little bit quirky and a little bit more specific, I guess you could say. Because I felt like some of them were more generalized.
Japan
was a little bit, and I found myself questioning, mainly because of spending 5 weeks there recently. I was like, that's not what I heard, but maybe it's different parts of Japan. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that could go for all of these, to be completely honest, because other than Père Noël and Father Christmas, I'm not well versed in any of these.
Yeah.
But I think Father Christmas was actually my favorite, as I'm thinking about it, just because he reminded me of the ghost of Christmas Present in Muppet Christmas Carol. Like both his voice, the way he sang, he had a little bit of a Peter Ustinov thing happening, which I also enjoyed.
And it had participation.
It was
the only one participation. I also really love, and I really want to give a shout out, because Hanukkah is currently going on, the Hanukkah Storyteller in between Morocco and, what is that?
France.
Was it? Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's France.
Okay.
I'm giving you the answer.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I thought it was on the other side for some reason, but no, absolutely phenomenal. I had a lot of fun with him, and he also goes through and tells the different Hanukkah traditions that you see. That was very fun. Maybe I have a soft spot for him because he was wearing Hanukkah socks.
That part was cool.
He
just needed a Hanukkah bow tie.
Fun Hanukkah socks.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, where can I get those? I'm sure I could find them.
I have seen them before, actually. Yes. The sock store in San Diego along the waterfront. Yeah, there you go. But I love that they're adding these stories, or that they have these stories, and they've had them for a few years. I've seen them before. But I would love to see them add more. Mm-hmm. Like put an actual Santa Claus doing the story of Saint Nick in the America Pavilion.
Yeah.
Or whatever in Germany. We joked about Krampus, but you know, whatever, like put some more in. And they do have the dragon for New Year in China, which we didn't get to see. They had something in Mexico as well, and I'm forgetting what it was called. So they did have stuff in these other countries too, some of them, but I would love to see even more of that. And heck, have Dreamfinder and Figment share how they celebrate Christmas. Like, you could really run with this.
Okay.
You could have
Mickey, now that you said that,
you could have Mickey and Minnie talk about their Christmas stuff in Odyssey instead of Santa, and put Santa back in the American Pavilion.
Nemo, Marlin, and Dory talk about how they do Christmas. Mm-hmm. There are puppets.
Star-Lord.
Well, we don't need to revisit the Run, Run, Rocket song, but Star-Lord and Gamora and the gang could share mm-hmm. about Christmas with us.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, there's lots of possibilities for what you could do with this to take it to the next level. And I really think it'd be
fun.
The
cars tell us how they celebrate Christmas time. The cars go...
They just honk. Yeah.
No, but to me, this is what Epcot is all about. It is about learning. It is the edutainment part of Epcot. Is. And it is learning other cultures, learning to appreciate other cultures in a very fun and approachable way.
Yep.
And you walk away going, oh, I know something that I did not know before.
And it was fun.
Yeah.
That was the important part as well. Happy Haunted Days. No, even though they're sponsored by Chevrolet.
Does Chevrolet have a holiday thing?
I don't know.
Oh, is it Chevy's December to Remember?
Something like that, yeah.
I should know that.
Club Cool, isn't that sponsored by Coca-Cola? So you can have...
the polar bears!
Well, and Santa.
And Santa.
They have the big Santa thing.
Santa and the polar bears. Also,
so maybe go polar bears because of...
I'm wearing a Living with the Land shirt. So also the trees could tell us how they celebrate. I would also like to point out that this shirt does say live with the land or we're all going to die. So
there you go. There you go. All right. We're running out of time tonight. We will stick around for a couple more seconds or minutes. If you have questions, comments, ideas, whatever, we are here for you. Also, let us know your favorite Christmas or holiday tunes in the comments as well. And because it might be used for something special for the Geekmas episode next Wednesday night, not Tuesday, Wednesday night. And there's the, see, I'm giving the tag and she got tired. Wednesday night, 8:30, it'll probably be an hour long. We will see how it plays out because we never actually know. It will be at least a half an hour, though. No more 12-minute shows. Twas the Show Before Geekmas and All Through the Corner. That is true. That would be a good way to approach that. Right? Right. It'll be great. We're going to have fun with it next week, and we hope you will join us as well and bring your friends, family members, or the person you just happen to stand in line with at Disney. All will be okay.
We'll accept anything.
We'll have a very Geekmas evening. And we've got some stuff already planned out. Some other stuff that we're flushing out. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Fun.
Yes, fun. All right. Well, I don't see much in the chat. So Katie, what should people do?
Go to dapsmagic.com. Check out all the Disney and geek news as it happens. Subscribe to our mailing list. And also find our Patreon. Because that is where we do a very fun pre-show behind the scenes where you get to see things and also help contribute to things
and create things with us as well.
Yeah.
Also make sure to check out our YouTube channel. We've got a ton of videos that are still going up from Walt Disney World and from Tokyo Disney Sea. I think I also have some from Tokyo Disneyland that are still going up as well, and more from Disneyland coming up soon as well. We're going to film Fat Cat Swinger this week, and if you're around, meet us on Friday night at Disney California Adventure at the Pacific Bay, Paradise Bay stage. That's what it's called. And whatever that is. But watch Fat Cat Swinger with us for Fat Cat Fridays. You won't want to miss that. It was fun the last time we did it a couple weeks ago. But that is all of the time we have for you this week because Katie is falling asleep. We will see you around the corner.
Bye.